Sunday to Earth and says Yahweh and Alpha and Omega, something like that.
To any man but God alone.
Spirit of God, once again, I hand over this platform unto you. Do as you wish among us, O God. Take charge, take control. I have no words to say. I just depend on you, Holy Spirit. Take hold of my tongue. 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 And let me speak the mind of the Father. 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 We receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
From every impurity. In the name of Jesus, we come on the platform of the blood and we receive cleansing. We receive cleansing in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
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 Before we go into the word, I received an indication that there is one more interpretation to the tongue that came forth.
Sorry, I'll just waited whether to pass it, but I believe, in addition to what was already said, the Lord is gift of the Spirit operated by faith. But as she was speaking, the Lord passed this phrase in my heart, I will gather thy seed from the east. And I looked it up, and that's in Isaiah chapter 53. From verse 5, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I believe the Lord is saying to someone that he's going to gather your seed. It may manifest as your physical children, but he will gather them from wheresoever they may have gone. And it may also be referring to seed in terms of elements of your life that have gone in bondage to the enemy in one way or the other. He says, I will gather it from the east. And in every dimension where it has gone to the claim of the enemy, he says, I will reclaim it. I will say to the north, give up, keep not back, bring my sons from far. Bring every element of your life from far. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We receive that word with thanksgiving.
Amen.
And we receive the manifestation also in our lives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Shout a thunderous amen.
Amen.
That's not enough. Shout amen.
Amen.
Bible says in the presence of God there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So please let's gather our hearts and mind together. Amen.
Amen.
So last week the Lord by his mercies began to talk to us from the book of Jude and the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Jude chapter 1 verse 3, which says that I beseech you therefore, brethren, that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saint. And the Lord helped us to look at the lives of men, those people we call saints, and we saw the dealings of God in their life and how they took and worked with God in every aspect of their life. We began to look at the life. We began to look at the man Abel. We saw the man Enoch. We saw Noah. And the Lord helped us to talk about so many things. And we believe God that today also we would continue in that pattern. And the Lord will open our eyes and ears to receive of him in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we'll go back to Jude 3, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." The Lord helped us to come to the agreement that we have a responsibility to fulfill as believers. He enlightened us that we are representing him here on earth. And what he has given to us, the faith he has given to us, and when I talk about the faith, I'm talking about the gospel of Christ that we have received. The gospel that is the power of God unto salvation that we have. The Lord is admonishing us that we should earnestly contend for it. And what does it mean to contend for it? To believe it. To be convinced by what we have received. To walk in the light of what we have received. Because there are things that will come and challenge what you have known. There are things that will come and challenge what you have received. You call yourself a child of God. While you are here on earth, something will definitely challenge your status. And say, okay, if truly you're a child of God, then why is this happening? But what are you going to say to that opposition? And that is why the Lord wants us at this time to walk with him and not just go and not just, you know, live our life like people who do not have a responsibility. He wants us to take hold of our responsibility and earnestly fight for it. He says the kingdom of God, right from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God what suffereth violence, and only the violent taketh it by force. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we saw last week that with his status as the Son of God, as the begotten of the Father, even the devil still came and did what? To challenge him. Say, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones, you know, to bread. We saw the life of Noah also. The Lord gave him a word, and he had to wait for 100 years. For the fulfillment of that word, a lot of opposition would have, would have came to the face of Noah, but was able to stand with the word of God till he saw the fulfillment. And today we are going to continue in the light of that. And the next man we'll be looking at is Abraham. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8, we'll see the life of Abraham here. Very interesting life. Just similar to previous men that we've studied and looked into. I would like somebody from the congregation to just read that for us. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8 to 10.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which had foundations, which builder and maker is God. The book of Hebrews just gave us a summary of what Abraham did as a man who walked with God by faith, as a man who earnestly contended for the faith that was delivered unto him. And we'll see a more clearer and a more defined life of Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1, and I will just see the story of how God called Abraham out of his father's house, what he did, the instructions that the Lord gave to him, and how come Abraham was among those men who walked with God by faith. Genesis chapter 12. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 70 and 5 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. We'll just stop there for now. Now we can see that from Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 5, that was when the Lord met with Abraham, and the Lord gave him an instruction. Said, Abraham, this is what I have for you. I want you to be a source of blessing to generations to come. I want you to leave your father's house. Leave that which you have. Leave that which you are attached to. And go to a land that I've promised you. Any man that bless you, I will bless that man. Any man that curse you, I'm going to curse that man. From you, the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was what the Lord told Abraham at 75. And Abraham, what did he do? He yielded to the instruction of the Lord. At one point in time, the Lord has called us out of where we are. Amen? Yeah. That is our salvation story, right? The Lord met us in our condition and called us out of where we are located, wherever we may be. Some of us,
in places that we can't even make mention of. But the Lord came and said to us, walk with me. Just like he said to Abraham, come out of your father's house. Just like he said to Noah, walk with me. Just like he said to Enoch, walk with me. And it is so important that we respond to that word, to that invitation. It says, no man can come to the Father except the Father what draws him. So our salvation story at one point or the other is just similar to what happened to Abraham. And Abraham did not alone, left his father's house. He took his wife along. He took your brother's son is what? Your cousin, right?
Nephew.
Your nephew, okay. He took his nephew Lot along. And the Bible says the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Whatever instruction, whatever call of God upon our lives is not meant for us alone. Amen? Everybody that is near us, our family members, friends, relatives, even our enemies, they had to partake of it. Amen? So when God was giving us an instruction, he was not only having us in view, he was looking at lives that have been attached to us. The same way the Godhead gathered and they said, Jesus, you will die, for the sins of the whole earth. The Lord was not looking at Jesus Christ alone dying. He was looking at souls. He was looking at, a lot of people being redeemed and being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So Abraham did not only receive the call and went alone. He gathered all that he can gather and did what? He went out of his father's house. So last week, I quoted a scripture that Paul said, Christ has reconciled us back to God. And this ministry of reconciliation, he has given unto us, to do what? To also reconcile men back to God. So we can't be greedy about the salvation we've received. Amen.
Amen.
And so one of the responsibilities we have, if we are to contend for the faith, is to make it known. Is to blow the trumpet in Zion. Make known to the people what the Lord has said unto you. The gift of God that you have received in form of salvation, in form of freedom from every bondage. It is necessary that we make it known. Jesus came, he said, I have not come to destroy the law, but I have come to fulfill it. He said he sent his word, and he delivered them. And what? He healed them from all their diseases. So when Jesus came, the Bible says, our God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing the sick, and delivering those who are oppressed of the devil. So there's something that the Lord has given unto us. This gospel is not a gospel that we ought to keep to ourselves. It's a gospel that we ought to make it known. Make it known. Let the people around you know that you have received something. Amen.
Amen.
So Abraham took Sarah, his wife, Lot, and the souls that he had gotten from Haran and departed. But I want us to note something. That the Lord came to Abraham at age 75. We'll see a similar picture here also, just as we look at Noah, that when Noah was 500, the Lord came to him and told him, prepare an ark and tell the people that a flood is coming. And not until 100 years later, that word came to fulfillment. Now let's jump to chapter 17 of Genesis and see something. Mathematicians in the house, can you calculate this for us? And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham. So 75 and 99 years old, how much is that? What's the difference?
14 years.
Sorry?
14 years.
14 years.
24.
Okay. 24.
Wow, that's a long time.
Thank you. 24 years. So from when God came to Abraham at 75, Abraham was just, you know, I just used to imagine what was Abraham doing. God just came, gave him a statement, and then for 24 years, we had nothing again. What was Abraham doing? Why was God waiting? Since God said, I'm going to make you a blessing, why wait till 99? At least Abraham obeyed immediately. He didn't say, Lord, you know, my father, he's an old man now. I don't know where he's going to die. Let me just wait for a couple years for him to die, bury him, and then, you know, I know I'll just leave everything. Immediately the Lord spoke, Abraham left. But the Lord, you know, left Abraham for 24 years. And what was the Lord doing? The Lord was just watching him. Watching what he was going to do with the word, with the instruction that he gave to him. Now, when the Lord met with us, I said this last week, and I'm going to just hammer it on it again. There are words that the Lord has given unto us. Amen. And these words, you know, sometimes we may not even see the expression of it. One morning, the Lord can just call you and give you a series of instructions. Your whole journal, you know, is full of God's word. And 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The first word self has not even came to manifestation. Talk less of one page. And you begin to wonder, but God, you told me this. I was sure of what you said. I was sure of what you have said to me. I knew it was you. It was no other voice. There was no other voice that was talking to me. I knew it was the voice of God. But how come? Why waiting this long time? The Lord spoke to Abraham at 75. And not until 24 years later, the Lord appeared to him. There are times like that we may experience those kind of things in our lives. It's not that the Lord has totally forgotten about you. It's not that the Lord just abandoned you. It's not that the Lord just gave you an instruction and left you. There are so many underground works that the Lord was doing, you know, when he, for that 24 years, that Abraham knew nothing about, until later before the Lord began to, you know, show him. But let's see what happened. So after 24 years, the Lord came to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So until after 24 years of Abraham obeying the instruction of God, the Lord came to him and unveiled himself unto him and said, okay, Abraham, 24 years ago I came to you and I said, you should leave your father's house, leave everything you have and go to a city that I have prepared for you. But I'm back here again. And after 24 years, this is what I demand of you. And before we go further, I just want to introduce myself as the Almighty God. So this is what I require from you. That you walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I just want to ask us a question, those of us that are here last week. Who else was this phrase walk and being perfect was also made mention to? Enoch, who else?
Abel.
Noah. Amen. This shows that the pattern of God does not change. I said this last week also, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the early morning lectures, our emeritus professor said it, that is the God that is present in the past, present in the present, and also present in the future. So, the Lord made it known unto Abraham that all I require is still the same thing. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2. We are going somewhere. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant with me, between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed and after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all this land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. The last one. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man among you shall be circumcised. Amen.
Amen.
So after 24 years of Abraham obeying the instruction of God and sojourning in the land of Canaan, the Lord came to him, introduced himself as the Almighty God, and said, now this is what I have for you. I don't want to call you Abraham again. I want to call you Abraham, because I have made thee what? Father of many nations. So what the Lord was telling Abraham in this chapter 17 was that for the 24 years, amen, 24 years that I've left you, you know, even though I didn't leave you, but 24 years that you've not heard from me, there was something I was making of you. Number one, I was making out of you a perfect man. I was making out of you a father of many nations. I was making out of you a man in which I've entered into a covenant with. I was making out of you a blessing to all generations. So for the period of 25 years, that was what the Lord was making. And after 24 years, the Lord came to him and said, these are the things you need to do. You know, walk in the light of what I've called you. He said, walk thou before me. Be what? Be perfect. Walk thou before me. Be perfect. There are so many things that the Lord has provided for us in Christ Jesus. There are so many things that the Lord has made available unto us in Christ Jesus. We may not see those manifestations now, but we know what God has said regarding us. And the only thing, the one single thing that the Lord requires from us is to walk in the light of that which he has called us. So, what the Lord was telling Abraham is, I know you are from Haran and all those things, but today, I am making a new covenant with you. And not only you, I'm making a covenant with your seed, and generations to come, that you walk before me perfect. Begin to walk before me as I'm seeing you. I'm no more seeing you as Abraham. I'm seeing you as Abraham. I'm no more seeing you as a man with just his wife. I'm seeing you as a man with his wife and a father of many nations. I'm no more just seeing you as a man that came from Aran. I'm seeing you as a man that has possessed the land that I have given unto him. And that was what the Lord was telling Abraham. People who are going to contend for the faith in this last day are people who will walk in the reality of how the Lord is seeing us.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
So, the simple thing the Lord just came to tell Abraham after 24 years is that for the whole 24 years I've been watching you, and these are the things I've made you. I've changed your name to Abraham. So, in the heavenlies, they're not calling him Abraham again. They were calling him Abraham. He has not seen the reality. Within that period of 24 years, the whole of heaven were calling him Abraham. They were calling him father of many nations. They were calling him the man in which God has covenanted himself with. But until 24 years later, the Lord now came to him and said, this is how I want you to walk. Walk as the father of many nations. Refuse to call yourself a man that came from Aran. Walk according to the covenants that I've made with you. The Lord showed him the light. The Lord showed him what is required of him. And one other thing the Lord showed to him is that be circumcised. Once that is done, we cannot go further in the journey that we have, you know, that we have started 24 years ago. So this is the same thing the Lord is telling us today, our brothers and sisters. In Christ Jesus, the death of Christ, the resurrection, the redemptive work has provided so great blessings that pertains to life and godliness. And what the Lord expects of us is to walk in that reality. We need to stop walking in the reality of the old man. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 is an interpretation to what the Lord was telling Abraham. Sorry, let me start from 6. He said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, what did he say? So walk ye in him. What this place actually tells us is walk according to that which Christ has done for us. Walk according to that which Christ has done for us. He said, by his stripes, I am healed. Walk in that reality. That by his stripes, I am healed. He says, because I've died and I've resurrected, you are now seated with me in the heavenly places. Walk in that reality that I'm seated with God in the heavenlies. Jesus said, I have given you life. Walk in that reality that you have the life of Christ inside of you. He said, I've given you the Holy Spirit. Walk in the reality that we carry the Holy Spirit inside of us. He said, I've given you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. Walk in the reality that you have power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. That is what the Lord requires from us. If that can happen, we will definitely contend and fight for that which we have received. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then verse 8, he said, beware, let any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits, after the traditions of men, after the rudiment of the word, and not after Christ. Remember last week, we were comparing the sacrifice of Abel and Cain. And we came to the point of agreement that the sacrifice of Cain is after the rudiment of the world. It's a sacrifice that came from the earth. But the sacrifice of Abel is a sacrifice that is patterned after the image of Christ Jesus. So the same thing, Colossians 2 verse 8 is also telling us. Once we are established in Christ, once we are built up by those realities that we have walked in, it will be hard for any man to pattern our lives after the tradition of men and after the rudiment of the world. So this is what the Lord came to tell Abraham. Said, Abraham, this is how you should see yourself now. Even your wife Sarah, stop seeing her as a barren woman. See her as that which is fruitful.
Amen.
The Lord came to Abraham after 24 years. If we are to contend for the faith, there has to be also circumcision. The Lord had to inform Abraham, circumcise all the males, you know, of your family. People around you, circumcise them and walk with me. In this day, what the Lord requires from us is circumcision of the heart. Amen.
Amen.
Circumcision of the heart that comes through the Holy Spirit. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, it says, I will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. This is what circumcision of the heart brings to us. All these are just to establish the fact that if we claim we want to contend for the faith, defend this gospel that we have received, the circumcision of the heart must happen. There must be a renewing of the mind. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Once there's a renewal of the mind, it will be hard for you to, you know, turn our back against God. It will be hard for us to not love the things of God. So the Lord told Abraham, circumcise those people to make sure you are separate. You are a special people. You are not like the kings that you have all over the city. You are not like men that build cities. You are a separate entity. You are a separate person. Your family is separate unto me. And Abraham began to walk in that reality. He obeyed, circumcised people, and he no longer saw himself as from Aaron. He just saw himself as somebody who is covenanted with God. The circumcision of the heart must occur, because that is when you can love the Lord with all your heart. If our heart is not circumcised, if our heart is not renewed, if our hearts are not patterned after that which Christ has done, it will be hard for you to even proclaim that I know what I have received. I gave us an example of the disciples last week. They needed the circumcision of the heart. Earlier on, Christ was telling them a lot of things, the realities they have in him. He was telling them what God has prepared for them. He told Peter, on this rock will I build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail. I will do this. I'm going to prepare a place for you. But it was hard for them to actually believe those things, because the circumcision of the heart was yet to happen. Until the Holy Spirit came, and they received the circumcision of the heart. The Holy Spirit came, and they were able to stand and boldly say, that which we have had, that which we have received, that which we have handled, of the word of life, we invite you to fellowship with us. The same Peter that was given an instruction, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, feed my sheep. He said, Lord, but you know I love you. Do you love me? All sorts of instructions were given to him, but the circumcision of the heart was the last phase of things for Peter to begin to walk in the reality that has been spoken about him. And not until the Holy Spirit came, and until he sought Christ, until Christ revealed himself as the resurrected one, before Peter saw and said, wow, okay, I believe. I believe. I believe. And he went with John and saw the lame man at the beautiful gate and said, I don't have money, but what I have, I give unto you. Peter was talking from a renewed mind, from a renewed perspective. He was talking from a mind that has seen, that has met with the resurrected Christ. Just as the Lord told Abraham, I am the Almighty, number one, walk before me and be thou perfect. Circumcise those people around you. See yourself as this. Refuse to see yourself as the man that I called out from Aaron, for you are now a special person to me. The Lord is telling us the same thing too. Stop seeing yourself after the pattern and image of Adam. See yourself in the light of Christ. See us yourself in the light of that which Christ has done for you. Walk in the reality. The Lord is telling you so many things. Walk in the reality. And this is why I encourage every one of us. I used to encourage people a lot. Let's search the scripture for what God has said regarding you. When you study your Bible, when you read your Bible, let's look for what the Lord has said regarding you. You know, when we have the view of God regarding us, it goes a long way in helping us to know that which we have received. A lot of time, we don't look at what God is saying regarding us. And that is why when the devil comes and tells us opposite, we rather believe the devil than believe what the Lord has said. If our heart and our mind are focused on that which Christ has said regarding us, that view that the Lord is seeing us as, he's seeing us as righteous, if our mind and our focus are on those things, when the devil come and say you're a carnal man, you will say, no, I'm not. When the devil comes with his lies and deceit and said, look, you are falling short of the glory of God. You are down, 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 down the earth. You are down. You see, there's nothing you can do to. You will tell him, never. I'm not down there. I'm seated with God in the heavens. If the devil comes and lie to you and tell you, excuse me, there's nothing you can do. You can never please God. You will say, never. I am the righteousness of God. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. If Christ can please God, why would I not please God? Christ lives in me. Let's look at what the Lord has said concerning us. Begin to see yourself in the light of how God sees you. So when the enemy shall come like a flood, you'll be able to raise a standard against the enemy and tell him, you've come to the wrong place. Amen.
Amen.
Tell the devil he has come to the wrong place. He has come to the... Your heart is not a football field where the devil can just be playing ball with your mind and soul and then be drifting you here and there. Your mind is the palace in which the Father sits. Sits the Almighty God. He sits down there. So when the devil comes, you tell him, sorry, occupied. You know, when you enter the washroom, there's always a button. You put it at the front of your heart. It's occupied. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord came to Abraham and said, walk in the reality of that which I've called you. And Abraham began to walk there. Let's see one more thing about Abraham before we move further. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll just jump to verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll come back to verse 11, but just to see the life, one more thing about Abraham in verse 17. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a what? A figure. Now, another perspective of Abraham's life that we need to look into. And this will push us to Genesis 22. Another significant life of Abraham. You know, this particular part was when the promise has been fulfilled. That word that waited for 24 years, you know, it has come to fulfillment now. And the Lord just wanted to give Abraham one more test. And we'll see what the Lord has for us. Genesis 22. Amen.
Amen.
It says, and it came to pass after these things, after, you know, the promise has been fulfilled, Isaac has come, the chosen heir to carry the blessings, you know, has arrived. The dead womb has come alive, has given birth. A 100-year-old man, you know, gave birth. After these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son. Now, you know, the Lord has, a sense of humor. He said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. The Lord did not fail to put that, you know, phrase, thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Hi, the life of this man used to just challenge me a lot. You know why? I'm sure in Abraham's heart, there are a lot of things going on. But the action he takes, the Lord said, I'll just do. Even though maybe as he's going, he say, I would like sacrifice. Like, okay, no problem. He's God. He's God now. Okay. He has been. I know if he tell me something, I'll just have to do it. But what did Abraham do? Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God has told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hands and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Yeah, am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Very smart boy. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I read too long, but the main emphasis is when the Lord instructed Abraham, Take the son whom thou lovest and sacrifice him. And Abraham, you know, rose up from there and went. What is the Lord wanting us to note and learn from the life of Abraham? Whatever promise that the Lord has given unto us, and when we see the manifestation of it, it should not deter the love that we have towards God. What am I saying? When the Lord began to make and call, when the Lord began to call those things which he has said regarding you into existence, when you begin to see the manifestations of the promises of God in your life, we should not be carried away. So the only test the Lord was giving to Abraham here is if his attention was still towards him or towards Isaac. That's why the Lord said, the son whom thou lovest. So what the Lord was looking for is that, who do you love between me and Isaac? Is the first love still available? Despite all the things that I've said concerning, despite the fulfillment that I've made, is your heart still longing after the Father? So the Lord will definitely fulfill his word in our lives. But the warning, the admonition, is that should not take the place of God in our lives. And so, it was just a simple test, and Abraham did excellently well.
Hallelujah.
So whatever we have, whatever blessings we have, be it material, be it spiritual, you see, for years you've been crying to God, Lord, I want your gifts to be made manifest in my life. Yo, God, I want to, you know, I want to find my place in the body. I want the gift of the Spirit to be. The moment you start manifesting the gift of the Spirit, is it going to stop or cut short your relationship with God? And so that is why people are going to contend for the faith. They must not leave. They must not forget the source in which they are coming from. So the Lord just wanted to know the mind of Abraham here. Where are you, Abraham? Where's your state of mind? What's your heart condition at this moment? Now that you have that mansion you're asking God for, God gave you. He gave you two, self. And then gave you 5 SUVs. Is your heart still with him? That's, you know, promotion. You've been crying to God, Lord, I want to work with the Prime Minister. And God handed it over to you. The Lord will come and say, okay, now that I've given it to you, am I still worthy to be called your God? Or you've totally forgotten about me now that you have received the promise? So as believers, whatever God has given unto us should not. Our talent that God has given unto us should not take the position of God away.
Amen.
Should not take the position of God away. Should not take the position of God away. The Lord Jesus Christ, having received that which the Father has promised him and made him Lord over everything, there was still one desire, is to do the will of the Father. There was still one outcry to just love the Father. So the Lord will take us places.
Amen.
The promises of God concerning our life will definitely come to pass.
Hallelujah.
But this is just a note of warning and admonition. That when that time comes, may it not be hard that you've left your first love and your focus is on another thing. When that time comes, our hearts, our default state of mind should still be God and God alone. When that time comes, the love of the Father should still be waxing stronger and stronger.
Hallelujah.
Inside of us.
Amen.
The Lord will help us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so that is the life of Abraham. The Lord came to Abraham to just tell him, walk in the reality of that which I've told you. The Lord is saying to us also, walk in the reality of that which I've said unto you. Walk in the reality. You may not see it. You may wait for 24 years. Noah waited for 100. Abraham waited for 24 years. But the Lord still kept his word. He said, not a jot of my word will go unfulfilled. Whatever word that the Lord has given unto you, I tell you, brethren, it will definitely come to pass.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we'll go back to chapter verse 11 of Hebrews 11. And the next person in line is Sarah, the wife of Abraham himself. It says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen.
Amen.
Sisters in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Are there not sisters in this house?
Amen.
Sisters in the house. Amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah. You are not left out. You are also included. There's a reason why the scripture says our daughters will be furnished.
Amen.
After what?
The
similitude of the pillars of the temple. When the Bible, you know, does that comparison as the daughters and the pillars, it shows that you have a very strong responsibility. If these two pillars leave this place right now, we know what will happen. So, you're also as important as any other human. Amen?
Amen?
And that is why you can't afford to isolate yourself. You also have a responsibility to fulfill in the body. I'll just leave that there for now. We'll come back to Sarah, because there are also other women we are going to look into in this Hebrews. So I want to actually run everything together. So we'll leave Sarah for now and then move to the next chapter, to the next verse. But have it in mind that we are still coming back to Sarah. And when we come back to Sarah, it may not be today, but when we come back to Sarah, we'll also talk about other women that earnestly contended for the faith that was delivered unto them. Women of faith. Amen.
Amen.
So get ready, sisters. Verse 12. It says, therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. Then verse 13. I want us to listen very carefully. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What happened to them?
They
were persuaded of them.
Hallelujah.
Number one, they embraced them.
And confessed.
Number two, number three, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 14, for they say such thing, declare
they
plainly, that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. So this the narrator in Hebrews took a pause and said, these men, Noah, Enoch, Abel, Abraham, they all died in faith. And one interesting thing that happened to them was that they died in faith. Some of them did not even see the fulfillment, the complete fulfillment of that which has been said concerning them. But one thing was sure, they were persuaded by it. They embraced it. They believed it. They were sure in the heart of their hearts that this is what God has said. They confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on earth. I'm always challenged by this aspect, because they decided having met with God, having entered some interactions with the Father, one met with the Almighty God, another came through the platform of the sacrifice. Men, you know, after meeting with God and seeing what he has said, they were persuaded by it, and they refused to call themselves men of the earth again. They began to see themselves as strangers in this land. What happened? They look beyond the physical, and they sought for a country. They sought for a country. When men were building cities, when men were building big cities, when men were making kings, these men refused to build city. They rather dwell in tent and tabernacle. Why? Because they look beyond their current state. They refuse to let their value system be perverted by the things of this world. They refuse to let the traditions of men to capture them. They decide that with what I've seen, I hereby declare that I'm a stranger on this earth. I'm just passing. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing. With what I've seen, I hereby declare that I am not of this world. I seek for a country. No wonder the Bible says Abraham sought for a country whose foundation and maker is God. What did he promise? We read in Genesis what God told him. You will be a source of blessing to the earth. How come Abraham got to the estate of looking for a city whose founder is God? They look beyond what they are saying. Protectors of the apostolic heritage are not limited by the current affairs of the world. They are men with insight. They possess the eagle eye, and they look far ahead. What is propelling them to walk with God is not the current state. It's not what they own. It's not what they have. It's not the physical situation they find themselves in. At. What propels them is that which they have seen. So when the Bible says, write the vision, make it plain, so that he that runs, he that readeth it may run. People who are going to contend for the faith are not people who are just physical. They are not men with their natural senses. They are men whose senses are of the heavenlies. They are seers. They are watchmen. They are men that see afar off. They don't have any eye defects. They are not myopic or I don't know. They are men that they see beyond. These men, even having what they received was just a shadow of things to come, they were persuaded by it. And it took them to a particular estate in their life. They refused to be limited by what they've seen. They refused to be called man. They started seeing themselves as men of the heavenlies. Men that belongs to the country of the heavenly. They failed to be limited. Abraham says, the Bible says, he dwelt in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the promises. Abraham had the resources to build cities. He had the resources to build a mega city, world power. But he rather forsake that and look ahead for that which is to come. Abraham was not a mere man. If you read the story of Abraham, when he went to the battle of the kings, a man single-handedly captured and conquered kings. But it was not that was not his motivation. His motivation was things ahead. What is our motivation today? What is that which propels us? What is that which, you know, encourages us to serve God? If our encouragement to serve God is based on, if God do me good, I'll forever serve him, you are still a child. Amen?
Amen.
You are just a child. You know, it's only children that if they ask their daddy, give him a bicycle. And the father said, just hold on. What they are thinking, this man does not even like me. You know? You see, our neighbor bought a bicycle for his son. This one, you know, he didn't buy it for me. I don't think this man loves me. I don't think this mommy loves me. But it's until when they buy the bicycle, you say, my mom loves you. That's a child. That's a child. If what propels us to work with God is, if God does something for me ahead that I can serve him, you are a toddler. We need to come of age. The love God has shown us through Christ dying is more than enough. Do you know what it takes to deliver you from destruction? It took the blood of a man. It took the life of a man to redeem us. And we are still saying, that's enough. That alone is enough. Is enough. If nothing else push us to serve God, let that push us to serve God. Destroying principalities and power, making mockery of them, dying, sacrificing his begotten, that alone should persuade us that you can take the reward. Just give me Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Take the reward. Give me Jesus.
I'm satisfied. Glory.
I'm satisfied. We should not. The tradition of men is that once there was a conversation that was going on then. I don't know who I was speaking with. Okay, yeah. I was speaking with one of my brother then, and was telling me about somewhere he was attending. That what they used to measure if God's blessing is flowing in your life is the number of material things, you know, you acquire. So anybody that does not, you know, he said in that place every week they are dedicating new things because people are competing with each other just to show that God, even some that don't have anything, they go into debt just to also lay claim that God's goodness is. That's after the rudiment of the word. Back in the time of Abraham, when you have city, you're a great man. Cain had city. But out of his city came polygamy. Out of the city came wickedness. When you have city, then you're a great man. And Abraham had everything he can to have a city. But he said, no, that's not why I'm here. Are you satisfied? The death of Christ it brings about peace that passeth all understanding. What else? We need to come of age.
Amen.
We need to come of age. We should not be limited. So the Bible says they declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they be mindful of that country whence they came from, they might have the opportunity to go there. And that thing that the Lord will require of us, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a what?
A new creature.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are in Christ. We have no business dealing with that which is of the past. So what this place was saying, that this man refused to be mindful of where they came from. They turned their back on it and they said, bye-bye, I'm not going back again. That was the mistake Lot's wife made.
Mm-hmm.
She was mindful of where she's coming from. And when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. The Lord has given us a clean slate. Put off the old man. Stop looking at the old man. Our gaze should be on the quickening spirit, the second Adam. This was a particular instruction that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago. Something happened. And I was telling somebody, I said, that person was so lucky that is the Yinka of before is no more the is no more the Daniel they know now. If it was before, ha. And as I was thinking of that, the Lord brought my attention back to where I've read and said, if they be mindful of the country, they would have gone back. And I said, Father, you just have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Father. He says, stop being mindful of that which you have put off. If you are mindful of that which you have put off, the devil will set avenues for the old man to come.
Mm.
And one day you just see yourself manifest in that dimension and you begin to wonder. And people even question, I thought you said you are born again. Brother, you should not have done that with all this word that I will be hearing. And then you have to repent and repent again. Stop being mindful of your old man. Stop being mindful of that which you have abandoned. Stop being mindful of that clothing you have put off. What you be mindful of is what Christ has said concerning you. So, and this is one of the secrets of walking in victory over all forms of addictions and all sort of an oppression. The reason is that a lot of time we are mindful. We are mindful of the old. We are mindful of the old. You know, when you see yourself indulging in some things, you say, I know my sister was doing this to you also. I remember that's how it runs in the family. You know, you are mindful. The Lord has delivered you from something, but you know, you are always mindful. You're always remembering.
Your mind is full of it.
It's still having some, you know, some passageway in your heart. If any man be in Christ, this man refused to be mindful of where they came out from. Because if they are mindful of it, they will have a point. If Abraham was mindful of where he came from, that 24 years that he didn't receive anything, he would have come back and said, I came out for 24 years, nothing. I beg, Aram, what's the map again? Sorry, GPS. And then we go back. Noah, if he was mindful of the way the people of the earth lived their life, for 100 years waiting, no rain, he would have put the ark on you know, we hereby suspend this project. And then they go back into what they are doing. If Enoch had been mindful that where God sent us, guess God sent us out of Eden, and he rejected us, you know, he sent our father, our great-grandfather away. Let's just live the way we want to live. I believe, you know, he may not have even worked with God, and would not have been taken. But these men, they refuse to look back at where they are coming from. Stop looking back at what, from where you are coming from. Where you are coming from is old story. We should not be visited. There is a new storyline that the Lord has created, and he wants us to walk there. The Lord will help us.
Amen.
Finally, we'll see the life of Isaac and Jacob. Verse 20. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac is a very simple man. There was a particular time I was looking at the life of Isaac, and I was like, this guy is just so simple. When he was having conflict with the Philistines, I think, where he dug a well, and then they will fill it. He didn't even fight with anybody. He would just go and dig another well. You know, to fill it up again, he would dig another well. Very simple man. So what did Isaac do? All what he knew is that I'm a carrier of God's blessing, and I have to dispense it. And so the Bible says, by faith, he blessed Isaac and Jacob of things to come. He said, let God and do the rest. Let me just bless you. You know, when he saw that, you know, somebody has robbed another one of blessing, he just said, okay, I bless you with everything. Just two of you, just take. He just dispensed the blessing. That was his responsibility. He held on to the responsibility that I'm a child of promise, and from me, other seed will also receive these blessings. And then by faith, he blessed them of things to come, based on what God has said. Just laying much emphasis on our responsibility as believers. There's no need to do too complicated things. You know, it's when we try to complicate things, we begin to enter some things we are not able, that the Lord did not send us to do. Just the Lord said this is what I'm going to do. This is the way the Lord wants. Don't let us use our manly wisdom, you know, and say, okay, what if God is not, let me try it this way. Just do that which God has said you should do. If the Lord instructs you, pray. Speak the word. Keep quiet. But if we want to try and do much more, it's as if we are saying we are wiser than God. And that is not possible. So he said, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau of things to come. But Jacob's life is something we are going to look into. Verse 21 says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the staff. The life of Jacob is also a very interesting life that the Lord wants us to take lesson from. And this will lead us to Genesis chapter 28. Finally, before we close. So starting from his father, I said, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessings of Abraham, and give thee the blessings of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger. Still the same. What would I say? The same pattern and instruction, just as their father has worked. Stop, don't see yourself as part of this earth. You're a stranger. Because the God we serve is not the God of the world. It's not the God that other kings serve. Which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob and he went to Paddan Aram. Please, can you skip to where the Lord met
him on the way?
Him on the way. Where he was sleeping. Aha. Amen. He says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. The next verse. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it.
Hallelujah.
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Can you imagine? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon it, and then he named her, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. Just God also in the same pattern came to Jacob. Did you see that after the blessing was transferred by Isaac, the Lord had to move to the next carrier of the blessings of Abraham? And introduced himself again, just as he did to Abraham, just as he did to Isaac, and said, I am the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham and your father Isaac. And this I've said concerning Abraham, I'm saying to you again. What did we see here? I read this place to just for us to know something, that before Jacob started his life, the Lord met with him. Then let's jump to Genesis 32. Between Genesis 28 and Genesis 32, there's a story of Jacob, how he went to Laban. You know, they deceived him, he deceived Laban. They played themselves, you know, deception, and they toyed. Acted by his own wisdom, his own strength, did all sort of things. But then he arrived at Genesis 32. He says, and Jacob went on his way. Now this is where Jacob was to return to meet Esau, his brother. And Jacob went on his way, and the angel of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. Anytime he has an encounter, he always recognizes that this is of God. But the problem is to actually walk in light of the revelation that he has. That's where he's always having problem. Before he went to Laban, he met with God. But I want us to answer this question. When we look at the life of Jacob in the entire story between him and Laban, did he act like somebody who truly have met God?
No.
No. He was trying all his... He said, let me work for you for 7 years and give me your daughter Rachel. Laban said, okay, no problem, work. He worked and they gave him Leah. And he said, is Rachel I asked for now? Why did you give me Leah? He said, the first one has to marry. That's the rule. That's the tradition. You see? Colossians 2:8. Laban gave him that this is the tradition he had to follow. And then he said, okay, you know what? I want Rachel. Rachel is the one that my heart longs after. Let me work another 7 years. Laban said, okay, no problem. That shows a man who lacks direction in what he was doing. But this same man, Jacob, met with God before the advent of his journey. But let's see. And Jacob sent messengers before. Can you skip to where he was fighting with the angel? Yeah, this same thing too. Further down. Yeah. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Can you? Next one. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of his joint, and he wrestled with him, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let you go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." From now on, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but what? Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God, and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So, what am I trying to bring out here? In Genesis 28, before Jacob ran to meet his brother, the Lord purposely and, you know, out of God's plan, met with him to just show him that as you are going on, you have somebody that you can rely on. But Jacob, having get to Laban and seeing beautiful Rachel, forgot that there's somebody he can, and he toiled unnecessarily for maybe 14 years or more. It's in the scriptures between Laban, and his life was just, you know, up and down, up and down. And when it was time for him to meet with Esau, somebody knows that, okay, this one, this guy has been keeping hatred for many years. If he sees me, I don't know what will happen. The Lord, in his mercies, brought Jacob back to his senses. And Jacob knew what he ought to do. He had to go back. He had to go back to meet with God. The only thing that can save him from anything, from any evil. If he had, during the time, his time with Laban, met with God, before he does anything, seek God's face, maybe Jacob's life would have been different. But when it was a point, when he was at a crossroad, and he didn't know what to do, he has applied all the wisdom, sent his servant forward, sent the servants of his wife, according to how much he loved them, he sent them forward, and remained Rachel. And when he saw that, "I don't think this is going to work," he said, "Okay, I know what to do. I'll go back to God." And then the Lord was also already waiting for him. The Bible says the Lord met with him. And then he wrestled. And while he's still wrestling, he's still showing and exhibiting that same lifestyle and character of, I think I know what to do, I can fight with him. And until God show him that, Mr. Man, I am the Lord God Almighty. And he touched the hollow of his thigh and said, if you want to really carry this blessing, you have to depend on me just like your great-grandfather. Just like your grandfather. Just like your father. Don't wrestle with me. That was the condition of Jacob. And what is God telling us today? Whatever we have, the holo of Jacob's thigh was his source of strength. And until God took it away, before Jacob could totally submit himself, and Hebrew says he blessed Joseph's son leaning on the staff. This was the condition. This was what brought about him leaning on the staff. There's a lesson God wants us to learn. What does God want us to learn from here? As people who are going to contend for the faith, something that must be required of us is that we stay connected to the power source. There was a reason the Lord met Jacob in Genesis 28. Why the Lord met him was that as you are going on, if you need anything, you know where to run to. Just stay connected. I was the God that worked with your father. I was the God that worked with your grandfather, Abraham. Stay connected and I will guide you. The Lord told him, I'm going to guide you. But Jacob did not connect. But glory be to God, he knew what he ought to do. He went back to his source. He went back to the Lord God Almighty and said, okay, this time, I totally surrender. I take you as my strong point. I refuse to rely on the strength that I have. What is that thing that serves as the holo of your thigh, that serves as a source of strength to you, that makes you you are such a person, you are in a position whereby you say you can do without God. What is that thing that you rely on? The Lord wants you to put it down and connect to him. Connect to the power source. It is the power source that gives you the confidence to contend for that which you have known. What is it that serves as the holo of your thigh that gives you strength to wrestle, to say, yes, I can navigate this world by myself, to say I can walk in this world by myself? What is that thing? What the Lord demands of us, people who are going to fight and contend for that which we have received, is that we humble ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Depend on him.
Totally.
Depend on him totally. The Lord had to take the whole. It is God that gave you that thing. And if he pleases, he can make it disappear. And then bring you back to the point where you ought to be. But before then, why don't we totally submit ourselves and connect to the power source? Connect to God and stay connected. Stay connected to that power source. That power source that flows, you know, the what comes out of it is the power of an endless life. The power source that knows no corruption. Infinite, everlasting. Stay connected. Let's stay connected to God. Let's stay connected to Jesus. Let's come to that point and estate where we say, I cannot do without you. Cannot do without you. I cannot do without you. Oh Lord, I cannot do without you. Cannot do without you. I cannot do without you. Oh Lord. Jacob said, I cannot go anywhere except you bless me. The whole of his thigh was removed. God God should be our strong point. God should be that which we are connected to. God should be that which we stay glued to. No wonder Psalm 46 tells us, God is our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 2. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He said, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. It says, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be what? When we stay connected, we cannot be moved. David says, because I have set the Lord continually before me, and because he's at my right hand, I will not be moved. She shall not be moved, for God is her help. He says, the hidden rage. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. What did he say? The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's a reason why it says the God of Jacob. Because Jacob ran to God, his refuge, and said, okay, this time I surrender. I want to stay connected to you. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth.
Hallelujah.
He maketh war to cease unto
God,
the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still. What did he say? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Can we say that again? The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. That is why we have to stay connected. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs in and they are saved. Stay connected.
Hallelujah.
That is what we need to do in this wicked world. Stay connected. When we stay connected, the length of days will not matter, but fulfilling the will of God is what will matter to us. When we stay connected, possessions and material things will not be what matter, but fulfilling the mandate of God is what that will matter in our lives. Christ stayed connected to the Father. And that is why all what his desire was that he should do the will of the Father. Men have stayed connected with God, and they left a print on earth that even generations will still be talking about. We are talking about this man today, Benson Idahosa. He never enjoyed length of days, but he placed a print. He left his print on the sand of time that even generations and generations to come will still be talking about him. Joseph Babalola did not enjoy length of days, but because he was connected, he fulfilled the purpose of God. Moses never really enjoyed length of days, 120, but he stayed connected. And he fulfilled the purpose of God for his life. Stay connected.
Hallelujah.
Until Jacob went back to his source of power.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
He went back to the source of power and said, I glue myself to you. I can't do it. I can't face Esau by my own strength. What is that Esau that you want to face? I tell you, you can't face it by your own strength. Let the man that said he will mete out punishment to Esau stay connected to him and let him fight that battle. is that thing that we are depending on? Is it your beauty? It just only takes hot oil to scatter everything.
Yes, sir.
What is that thing that you depend on? It's just a flick and everything is gone.
That's it.
So why go through the hard way when God is readily available for you to stay connected to?
Hallelujah.
The Lord had mercy on Jacob. The Lord met him again. The Lord met him again. Stay connected. You are here, you've gone far, you know, you've done a lot of things, and you think to come back to God is a difficulty. I'm telling you today, no. The Lord is readily available to for you to plug yourself back to Him and let Him direct you. Direct you. Direct you. Direct your path. From that time, Jacob's name was changed. He never remained the same again. The life of Jacob totally transformed. Stay connected to the power source. The source that flows with the power of an endless life. The source that gives you a peace that the world cannot understand. The source that gives you life eternal. The source that sets your path right. The source that gives you light, that shines light into your path, that you will not walk in darkness. The source that gives you understanding of the mind of God. The Lord taught his disciples to stay connected, and they did. And they never walked in darkness. Stay connected. Stay connected. Stay connected. You have no strength of your own. We have no strength of our own. This is just, it's clear. Amen? When God created Adam, the Bible says God formed him from what? The clay of the earth. But what gave Abraham life? The breath that came from God. So without that breath, Adam was just like this, like a clay. It is the breath of God that gives you life. And that is why it is necessary to stay connected to Him. Stay glued to Him. Remain there. Remain. The little measure of wisdom you have cannot take you anywhere. Connect to the all-powerful and mighty wisdom. The might that you have cannot take you anywhere. Connect to the spirit of might. Connect to the Father.
I cannot do without you. Cannot do without you. I cannot do without you. Oh Lord, I cannot do. I cannot do without you. Oh Lord, I cannot do. I cannot do without you. I cannot do without you. I cannot do. I can't.
connect back to Him. There is a window open to attach yourself back to the power source.
Right, so I think.